And welcome to Be Frank, the podcast where we dive deep into the mental health struggles of African men that are rarely spoken about. I'm your host, Frank Beecham, and I'm excited to start this journey with you.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of To Be Frank. And we are continuing in our series, the To Be a Man series. And we are going to go and dive deep into this where we try to understand more of what the phrase be a man or man up does to men. And in this episode, we'll be talking about the mental toll, which is the seven ways the phrase be a man affects African men's mental health, or any man for that matter. So lock in and let's dive deep into To Be Frank. Well, welcome to this episode, like I said. And as always, we always begin with a background, which is our story. And in this background or in the story, I want to talk about someone named Nana Kwame, or I like to say Nana Kwame Nsia. Nana Kwame Nsia is just like every other African boy that we know, or African guy that we know. And he was taught to be strong, resilient, and unyielding. He was taught to be all of these things in the face of adversity and the struggles that he has. From his father's words of wisdom to the tales that he's heard all his life from his uncles and every other father figure around him, Nana Kwame has learned that to be a man, in quote, is meant to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he can never falter and he never has to show weakness. This is the definition of what it means to be a man in the mindset of Nana Kwame. Now, we have already discussed in our previous episode, if you've not listened to it, I say go check it out, and the seven misconceptions of what it means to be a man. And Nana Kwame, just like most of us who grew up in Ghana, Nigeria, Uganda, Kenya, South Africa, whichever African country, or any part of the world, I'm pretty sure that we've also struggled with this. Just like all of us, we've been told that to be a man means to be strong despite how weak you're feeling or the toll is taking on you. But the fact of the matter is, the phrase be a man isn't just a phrase, and this isn't just a story. This is a harsh truth that is faced by millions of African men, like I mentioned, every day. And according to a study that I read online by the World Health Organization, African men are significantly less likely than women to seek mental health support, with only 1 in 4 receiving the care that they need. Like, let that soak in. I know I've mentioned this fact so many times in several other episodes because this is the problem that we are trying to shed light on. And until this stigma or until this cloud of restriction where men have the access to help but do not actually seek it out is done with, we will continue to preach this over and over again. And this is the same story with Nana Kwame as it is for so many of us. Now, let's unravel, like I said, the seven ways in which the pressure to be a man takes on an African man's mental health, the toll that it takes. The first toll that it takes is increased stress. We are all prone to stress, whether we are man, woman, whether we are old, young, millennial, youth, whatsoever it may be. We are prone to stress. And the weight of societal expectations presses heavily on African men, leading us to increased stress levels or increased stress levels. A report by the African Mental Health Foundation found that 60% of African men report experiencing high levels of stress due to the pressure to fulfill traditional masculine roles. What are these traditional masculine roles? Be a provider, be a protector, be this, be that, be this, be that. Whether it's the pressure to provide for one's family or the fear of falling short of societal standards of what it means to be a man, or the constant strain on a man's finances, takes a toll on our mental well-being. But it doesn't stop there. The second toll or the second effect it has on us as men is the anxiety and depression it causes. I want you to understand what anxiety is. So many times we hear the phrase anxiety, we hear the phrase I'm depressed, and many people don't really know what it means to suffer from anxiety and depression. So anxiety is a feeling of fear, dread, or uneasiness, to simply put it. It's basically someone just being too stressed to even perform, and someone just feeling a crippling fear on the inside. You can have your heart racing, you can have your you can be sweating, you can have your palms sweaty. Some people can feel anxious to the extent that they even throw up. Now, should a woman throw up, or should a woman be stressed and nervous to do something or anxious, people would say, we'll try to calm her down and say, you got this. And that's only because she can voice it out. Now, so many men by society have been trained or tuned to not even say this. Men, if you're listening to me, or not if you're listening to me, as you're listening to me, I want you to listen to this and say that I have been in the same shoes, but I have found that when I voiced out that I'm anxious or I am afraid even, I have actually received comforting words from people. So it's not a sin or it's not wrong to have anxiety. And for people who fail to tell the signs and symptoms of anxiety, these are some things you can look out for. The person trembling, the person overthinking, the person even lacking sleep, insomnia. These are all things that are caused by anxiety. And the next thing, which is depression, and the basic definition of depression is that constant feeling of sadness and loss of interest, which puts a stop to the normal activities. Many a time we find it difficult to see these signs when they're right in front of us with our loved ones, and we think that they either are uninterested in us anymore, or we think that they have quote-unquote changed, as we hear so much in Africa, that when someone is going through something and you no longer do stuff like, or you no longer act in the way people are used to you acting, or behave in the way that society is used to you acting or expect you to act, they say you've changed and you think you're better than us. And some even try to tie it to being proud. But sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes it just means that this person is struggling with depression. Because you have to understand this. People don't just get up one day and say, I'm going to stop doing something that makes me happy. It's like doing this podcast. It makes me happy. But if I just got up one day and just stopped, I am afraid, and I'm not scared to admit this, I'm afraid that people will just get up to me and say, wow, you started this. You couldn't even maintain it. You think you're better now. Now you have people listening to this podcast. So you're all that. You just want to quit. But that's not the case, because something may have happened along the line and I'm depressed and I don't feel that interest, that zeal to come to your cars, to come to your offices, to come to your homes and talk to you about this topic, because that's me going through depression. And that's the same thing that we can see at home. Maybe your husband has changed. He no longer wants to be eating at home. He no longer wants to, you know, watch movies. No longer wants to even have date night because he is thinking about something. Now, picture this. Anxiety and depression all coming in one. Having a feeling of fear and uneasiness coupled with a feeling of sadness and loss of interest. That can really break a man. And this often lurks, anxiety and depression often lurks beneath the surface for African men, which is caught in the trap of that phrase, be a man. According to a survey conducted by, again, the African Mental Health Association, one in three African men experience symptoms of anxiety or depression, but are less likely to seek professional help due to this stigma and cultural barriers. Let that, again, soak in for a little bit. Now, suppressing our emotions and denying our vulnerability only worsens these conditions and pushes us deeper and deeper. Or anyone suffering from mental health or these anxiety and depression, it pushes us deeper and deeper into this abyss of anxiety and depression. And this basically leads to the silent epidemic of mental health struggles that many men face. Now, a third one is the decreased help-seeking behavior. This is basically the stigma that surrounds mental health in most African communities, which often prevents men from seeking the help that they need. A study that I read, which was published by the African Journal of Psychiatry, found that African men are 40% less likely than women to seek mental health support, and it cites concerns about being perceived as weak or unmanly. If I tell you how many times I've heard men be called the B word, or be called sissies, or be called, you know, whack, or, you know, not man enough, just because they have expressed their fear, they've expressed what they're going through. And as a brother, as a son, if I see my father, or I see my uncle, or I see a father figure, or I see a man or a friend in my friend group, and I want my boys to listen to this. If I see a friend in our friend group going through this, this does not make me motivated to come to y'all or to come to any of you to talk to you about what I'm going through as a man. And I believe it's the same for many men in today's day and age. That just because we are stigmatized in our friend groups, or we are stigmatized in our communities, or in our workplace, or in our schools, makes us less likely to even seek help. Now, number four is the emotional suppression. Emotional suppression becomes second nature for many African men who are conditioned to adhere to the expectations of masculinity, because it's basically what we've been created to be. And the phrase, be a man, only reinforces and teaches us to bury our feelings deep within, which leads to a disconnect from our emotional selves and pushes or hinders down our ability to express and process our emotions healthy. So now, it's either some men who have to express their emotions, express it through anger, verbal abuse or physical abuse, or some don't even express it at all and don't even know the words to put. It's gotten to the point that as men, we don't even know the words to use to even express how we're feeling, because we can't even understand how we're feeling. And that just worsens the situation for us when we hear the phrase, be a man. The next one is a very interesting and controversial one, but it's the relationship strain. The pressure to conform to traditional notions of masculinity strains relationships, both romantic and platonic. A study by the African Institute for Gender Studies, I think it said it found that many African men, or African men who stick to the traditional masculine norms, are more likely to experience relationship conflict and dissatisfaction. Process that. Now, I'm not going to give you a long spiel. I'm going to leave you to actually look in your relationships, both platonic and romantic, and ask yourselves as men that what are the expectations that I have as a man, or which I have been taught by society to expect from relationships, that is making me have conflict in my relationship? Is it that my woman does not cook enough, or she does not clean enough, and I feel like as a man, I'm not the one supposed to cook or clean? Or even for women, what are the societal expectations that you have in your head that you think that men are the ones only supposed to, or men are the ones supposed to be doing by themselves, that you as a woman, you can't even help, you're not supposed to even help them on? And if a man cannot provide financially, if a man cannot protect you, then he's not a man. And so because of this expectation, you take that into your relationship, and then it breeds conflict because you have this subconscious expectation. And also, so now the sixth one is, and before I go to the sixth one, I want to say this. Society, and let me just throw this out there. Women, society expects men to be the one always buying women flowers. But do you know how your man would feel if you bought him flowers? Just think about that. Sometimes taking the load off and showing him that you actually care rather than being on the receiving end can really strengthen your relationships romantically or even platonically. So female friends, step up. Let your men in your life or your male friends feel like they're special as well. Let your brothers feel that way. The sixth one is identity crisis. And that relentless mantra to be a man can trigger an identity crisis for African men who feel trapped between the society expectations and their true selves. And more research goes to show that many men, African men who struggle to meet those traditional masculine ideals, are at a higher risk of developing identity-related mental health issues such as low self-esteem and feelings of inadequacy. And now the last but not the least, substance abuse. The mental toll of conforming to the phrase "be a man" can drive some African men to unhealthy coping mechanisms such as substance abuse. In a previous episode, I spoke about the statistics of how many men actually resort to substance abuse. So I'll say listen to that. But again, in case you missed that, another one is that a report by the African Union Commission on Drug Control and Crime Prevention found that African men who adhere to traditional masculine-like norms are more likely to engage in risky behaviors, including alcohol and drug abuse. And they use this as a means of coping with the stress and emotional distress. Just picture that you are the reason. Just picture that you have a man in your life and all he does is turn to alcohol or drugs to just as a way to numb the pain and escape the relentless pressure just to meet unrealistic standards of masculinity. One thing that I am proud of amongst some of my friends is we have come to the agreement that we're going to have more hangouts or more activities together as friends, which are non-alcoholic. And we've gone to see the movies. I just had lunch with Josh just a couple of days ago. We've hung out. We've gone places. We've done things. which we've gone to go get food, we've gone to go get dinner, we've gone to the casino. We've hung out in places where alcohol is present, but not had alcohol, but just talked to each other. And this has really boosted our friendship, and this has also boosted our mental health and made it led to a positive space. So I'll say, as men, substance abuse is not the way to numb the pain, because picture this. After the hangover goes, that trouble, that problem still hangs over you like a rain cloud. So in conclusion, I just want to say that we have explored what it means to be a man. We have actually touched on the toll this takes on us as men. And I want us to remember the words of this Ghanaian proverb, which says, "The lizard that jumps from the high tree to the ground said he would praise himself if no one else did." It's time to break the silence, challenge the stigma, and create a culture of openness and support where every man feels empowered to prioritize his mental well-being. If no one is going to praise you for being a man, I want you to look at your achievements in yourself. And just like the lizard, praise yourself if no one else will. Thank you for joining me on this journey, and continue to be frank with yourself about the help that you need. And until next time, remember that seeking help is a sign of strength, and you are never alone in your journey towards mental wellness. Continue to listen to Be Frank. I'll continue dropping nuggets. And just for more information, follow us at tobefrank_ on Instagram, and add us up on Snapchat at tobefrank2024. Until next time, stay blessed. Continue to push your mental health towards the gauge of positivity. Thank you.